We extend Christian greetings to all of you. It's indeed an honor to gather in fellowship, worship, and sense the Spirit of God in a real way this morning. And I'm sure our hearts are focused on what God's going to do in the life of our congregation today. And my mind kept coming back to, I wasn't sure what for message to share in at all, but just a message of quieting our hearts before God and letting Him accomplish His will in our ordination this afternoon. And with that, I titled my message this morning, God's Greatness in what God is going to do, not so much what we are going to do. I feel we as a congregation, we have done what we can, and now God's going to do the rest. And that ought to give us a sense of peace, serenity, just resting and waiting on God. And I have about 5 points here I want to consider, but for a text this morning, I want to think about how that there was a giant, and we don't have to look at our situation, or not our situation, but our method of calling someone from to leadership from our congregation. And in that, we face some giants sometimes in different circumstances where we struggle with something or all that. But what I want us to, what I'd like to see happen, and through the Spirit of God manifesting Himself in our hearts and getting us quiet before Him this afternoon. I know we have experienced it a number of times of having gone through the lot. And in that experience, it was a real growing experience. It was a time of searching your personal life before God. And that will happen in circumstances as this sort. And I want to just wish Josh and Kelly and Dwayne and Marcy, if I didn't tell you personally, I just wish you the Lord's blessing as you approach this afternoon's service in that way. But one of the, let's read some verses here. I jumped around a little bit, but 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where I'd like to take my text from. I'd like to read verses 2 to 11 first, and then verse 16 I'd like to include with that, and then verses 23 to 25 and 26. We're going to jump across some of the verses because it's a lot to read if we don't. And then 32 to 37, 39, 44, 45, and that's where we'll conclude then. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 2 to 11, first of all. And here the Bible says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And then one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, Then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. I'm reading this portion of scripture for one reason. We face giants in our land, and we can face circumstances that sometimes really look like giants are difficult, and we want to process that in a way that is going to help us and gain ground in our spiritual lives as we go forward, thinking about leadership. And we as God's children, in our life of facing these giant things that come our way, can become something that don't have to look so difficult. I want to say to us that there is a God in the heavens that is in control. He lives and moves and has life in everything that exists. And he chooses to work in our personal lives in this manner of choosing leadership. And I'm so thankful today. And Mike and I talked about that just a little bit this morning, that I am really thankful for the way we choose leadership. I think it's a method that God blesses, that gets adorned by God, and it's an experience that draws that setting of a congregation together when we choose leadership from our congregations. And I love the plural ministry. I told Mike that it'd be difficult for me. I saw my name twice in the bulletin. It said Levi Brubaker preaching this Sunday, and then, it says Levi Brubaker preaching next Sunday. And I remembered that, but seeing it put together there just brought me to a place of, wow, how would it be that just every Sunday, I'm the guy that got to preach, I'm the guy that does all the church things, and you just support me, and I go out and I do the church stuff. And that thought came to me as I saw that, and that made me realize that I'm thankful for the opportunity to share the ministry plurally with from within the brotherhood and brought out from the brotherhood. And it makes it a wonderful sense of serenity and security. And one of the things that we want to realize about this setting was when Goliath faced the Philistines, what he didn't seem to understand was that there was a God that the Israelites served that was of such a capacity that he had no kind of strength, as huge as he was, 9 foot 9 inches tall. I cannot imagine facing a man like that. He was a huge fella. And the armor he carried and everything, and the threats he brought to the children of Israel there. But when David came along, and he personally made the pass that he was defying, in verse 10, the armies of the Israel this day. And he was going to fight the man that would challenge him and take him to task. Well, folks, I want to encourage us this morning, and especially you two brothers, there is a God in control of things, and he knows all about everything, and he knew about this day before it happened. He knew that it was going to be, and he knows who he's going to choose, and he knows all that you and I need to comprehend with our thinking. So what I want us to rest in is that a commitment can be made in our lives to accept God's revelation in how he will work and move in our lives. And I really feel that we don't have to look at this as a huge, and I understand it's an experience of bringing a brother into from the congregation that's going to be in leadership. That's going to change that role somewhat. But what I want us to understand is that God knew about this long before you and I got here in history, in time. And we don't have to look at it as a huge giant that is not going to work, that is really difficult to face. Because as you and I, in a congregational setting, we are willing to resign our lives into the will of God, no problem. The giant is diminished. He is defeated. But folks, we have to get to a place that we are committed to accept God's revelation in this situation. And when we can do that, what peace comes with it. I'd like to look at a few further verses. In verse 16, it tells us there that the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. What I'd like to draw from that is sometimes we get the idea that probably this giant came and faced the Israelites maybe on this day, and the next day everything took place. Well, you notice, dear people, it was happening for 40 days and 40 nights. He was continually coming, facing them as the giant of the land. Now, as you consider that thought with the 40 days happening there, and when we think of that as God's children, we pursue this experience in a number of months and years, or not months and years, but it's planned for a period of time. Everything has its place, and it has to happen to make things work. But this guy, as he came to face, there is no threat against the children of God. And David reminded his Israelite family that this giant, he's not so big and so great. He can be defeated and he can be torn down, and he will not carry the weight that he thought he would. Going to verse 23 and then 25 and 26, the Bible says, and as he talked with them, as this was when David came to see his brothers, he said, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, and he said, he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. How often has God brought us to a place of where we find ourselves struggling? You know, as we look at this setting for leadership in our congregation, we are desiring, we're excited about it. We think it's a right move. It's something that the congregation needs, and it's going to prove to be a blessing to us, dear people. Let's look at this as a blessing. And as his brother is brought in to serve with the congregation and help in the plural ministry, it becomes a blessing of unity as the Spirit of God works and moves in the lives of our congregation, into each and everyone's heart as we go on in this ordination. And let's believe that when we come alongside and we make a decision that we want to be a part of supporting and finding ourselves unified in the situation. I remember a number of times this morning, Jim mentioned the brotherhood. He loves the brotherhood. I'm with you in that, Jim. I think when the brotherhood connects their hearts together in a unified spirit, it's going to make all the difference in how approaches are made. And that's where we need to make our decisions, based on wanting to make it a sense of where we bring our hearts together and we draw ourselves to one goal and we seek to make it what it should be. And I just encourage us, and I want to make a statement then at the end here in conclusion, but as we think about what this experience can do to enrich us as a congregation, it is going to make all the difference in how I choose to do that in my heart. I can decide that. So thinking about this giant guy, some more, let's go to verses 32 to 37. Here the Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. I'd like to stop there. When we think about, I was going to read 37 yet, yes. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. The encouragement to David was to try and take this experience that he was looking at. What often amazed me about this story of how David challenged this Philistine, the army of Israel, there was not a man that had the stability to trust and believe that God was the one that was going to defeat this enemy. And folks, that's where we need to get our hearts fixed, that God is the one that lives and controls all things. And so often when we let these things come to us and we question things a lot and we say, oh, this looks too big to face, where's God in the picture? Where is he? What does he mean in our lives? He said in verse 37 that he was delivered of the lion and the bear, and this Philistine, he's also going to deliver him into his hand. But he gives God the glory and the credit. And dear people, the giant looked as a minimal thing for him to deal with. Why was he picturing it so different than all the army of Israel? For 40 days, this guy challenged everybody. And here comes David, this little ruddy guy that was a shepherd out in the fields. Who is this guy that he can act this way? So giants, dear people, are put in our lives in a way by choice that we decide how we want to respond to them. And that's when they become a giant and are difficult to understand. And that's what David brought to the people, and they did not grasp that at all. And he said he should not be a person that can defy the armies of the living God. David had the approach that it wasn't himself going to do the fight, but it was God who he defied, which was not going to be destroyed by him having the power or the authority in his own physical self to destroy David as he thought he would. He said, who are you going to send? And it's interesting, as David was this little guy, this little shepherd, he had no armor. He was not dressed up in all the protective ingredients that he needed or things that he needed to protect his body. But he was he was ready to go and fight and deliver the Israelites from this giant. And what I want to do in picturing that in our lives is that we understand that we are a group, a congregation, a people that God has chosen to move forward and be the kind of people that will face the giants of the land that are destroying and trying to deceive us. And that's none other than the devil. He will try to make that happen. But dear people, as we unify our hearts in this experience, we are going to be a blessed people. And as we made this decision, the other thing we want to realize about this whole experience, another point here, is God is interested in all our decisions. It doesn't matter what we do, large or small. God takes a hold of them, and he makes them happen in his way. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And for us to connect ourselves to God and getting rid of ourselves in the way, it says then in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he," speaking about God, "shall direct your paths." And then it says in verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil," or depart from leaving these kinds of things get in the way of your spiritual life, to where the giants of the land will destroy you, so to speak, spiritually. So he's interested in all the decisions. And let's believe this. There's always the concern of what's all really going to take place. Well, you and I don't really know the future. But what I want to encourage us to do, let's rest when we talk about God's interest in all our decisions. Let's believe that when God makes his choice and he moves the church forward, folks, let's trust him in that and resign our will to his will, and we'll fare a whole lot better than if we say, "Well, is this really the way it should be?" Let's leave God have his will and his way, and we will experience the peace and contentment that we want to find in our lives through that. So let's remember that that's an important factor. And we always will ask, in faith, believing that God will do the right thing. But it's one thing to take our faith and put it in place, and then receiving that, and then from there, it's not so much putting our faith in place as it is receiving and then taking our life and resigning to that fact. Giving ourselves completely. That's what it's all about. We ask in faith, believing. Are receiving, maybe not at all how we thought. And we can draw all kinds of conclusions, but God is in control. He knows what he's doing. As the Philistine Goliath charged to David, David calmly, without a lot of fanfare or anything, took care of the giant. And folks, sometimes people get all up in the air about things, and they decide that this is the right way, or that's the right way, or this is how it's probably going to go, or this is how it is. But resigning ourselves and finding our place in committing the whole thing to God is going to make all the difference. And God will receive the glory for it. But what God does, he does right every time. And I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at a verse back here where the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he was encouraging him that he would stir up the gift of God. And God is going to provide the gifts that will be shared throughout the congregation and to the church, and we'll all be here to support each other. And possibly things are going to change a little, but it's the extent of how we receive this whole situation of the ordination taking place in the brother that will be chosen for that experience. And I'm not here this morning trying to be doing the ordination already. That's not my point. But what I'm trying to get us to understand as we approach this ordination, Let's be sure that God already understands it. He knows all about it. And you and I have done what we could in making that presentation to God. And do we not believe that God is going to do what is right? He will make a right decision. He always does, even in our own weaknesses at times. Psalm 18, verses 30 to 32. I'd like to read Psalm 18:30-32. Here the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And then notice what verse 31 says. For who is God? It's a question. Who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our, and or who is a rock save our God? And then verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now, that word perfect there is mentioned twice in this portion of scripture. It says in the beginning, as for God, his way is perfect. And down in verse 32, it says that he guides me with strength and makes my way perfect. Do you know it's the center of finding God's will that draws perfection from your life and makes you the right person for what God expects of you? It's not so much that I got to pursue that, but I pursue it in the Spirit of God. And as God is perfect, as we see in verse 30, he makes us the perfect person that we shall be in the long haul of this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'd like to read the end of the chapter there, where it talks about our lives in what they are. And this is for all of us. It says in a question again, in verse 19 of chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? May we realize this morning that all of us put together, we are not our own personal belonging, that we belong to ourselves. But we resign our will to his will after we receive Christ into our life. And after that, it is a pursuit of my life to find Jesus Christ controlling my total life. It says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost which lives in you, which you have of God. We're talking about this perfection. God is looking for not that we are a totally perfect individual, but he is looking for people that are willing to strive toward that perfection. He wants us to be a growing person in the sanctifying work of his Holy Spirit as we change continually in our lives and grow into his will. And God will do that in a perfect sense. He says that we are, as we are controlled of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you are not your own. But you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We all belong to him in one spirit, and we glorify God in that manner. Well, as we think about that, God wants us to give him decisions to work through and to prove himself. That's a big one. Because as we consider what God's going to accomplish here in the sense of the ordination, it is not for me to make my decision and say that's how it needs to be. Do you know God, in his divine providence, can only move as people willingly resign to him and let him have his way. And what we want to accomplish in this morning is to find ourselves unified in this spirit of oneness to God's will and being resigned to it. Important, very important. I believe that God wants every heart to be there. That we can just find ourselves at a place that we don't hinder the work of God in this experience. I am very excited and thrilled about it. I think it's a great experience and a great milestone that you and I are that we are facing today. But we need to give him our decisions to work and through and prove himself strong. And we will find ourselves resting in peace in that. My last point is this. God has a long-range plan in mind. And as we are going through this experience here and now, we want to realize that, you know, when we build a house, we get a blueprint. And we follow that blueprint to build what we're going to experience, live in possibly, and or unless you're a builder and you do it for someone else. But if you're building a house, you have a blueprint because you want to know what you're building. And not just that, you realize that the long range of that whole deal is for you to live in that house, enjoy your house, and have a good experience with the house you had in, and you in your heart and mind, you had a long range plan of where you wanted to build, of where you want to go with that. And because then you plan what belongs here, you plan what belongs there. And as we think about this ordination coming up here, God has a long range plan you and I don't understand yet. But we are here today and now because it's no surprise to God. He knew all about it. He knew it's going to happen. He knew what he was doing. And as we resign to that fact, we can rest in the peace of what will take place. And I want to encourage us that this long-range plan, as we commit ourselves to let God have his perfect way in all of this, he is going to do what is right. And this is my standing thought in the end of this. You know, sometimes I've been there. We find ourselves wondering what God is really doing at times, and even in the individual's life, in the individuals that are in the lot or whatever the case might be. And when that happens, we have a tendency to think outside the box. We start to think all kinds of things. And I want to encourage you two brothers, as we look forward to this ordination happening, I'm sure you're sensing somewhat of a suspense about it all. But I want to assure you that God looked down upon our congregation and he saw two brethren that we were so satisfied with, that are serving so well in the congregation, that we could not make a choice as a congregation to decide which brother it should be. And we are at a place to this afternoon where we will let God make that choice. And it doesn't mean that because one God needs one person to fill this place, and it doesn't mean that the other one is not capable. I want to assure you that the congregation saw two qualified brethren which they chose out, and they had no way to make that decision on who it should be. So as we wait on the Lord this afternoon in this experience of ordination, that higher the outcome, that does not mean that one over the other was more qualified or less qualified. But I want to assure you that God is going to do what's the perfect plan for our congregation. And he's satisfied with where one's going to be and where the other's going to be, but he orchestrates his will. And from there, we move forward and we seek the blessing of God upon the experience. So I just encourage us all, let's, as we were encouraged to find ourselves praying this afternoon, let's not so much try to think and figure out what God's going to do, but let's have a heart that's resigned to his perfect will. And that's where we need to be, dear people. It almost, in a sense, feels like we can move ahead with the ordination, huh? I didn't mean to make it sound that way. But I think sometimes there's a lot of restlessness can happen prior to an ordination. But I want us to rest assured that God is going to bless us as we resign our hearts to having his perfect will. Because I believe when we give God the freedom that he needs to make this happen, in a way that we are just resigned and God, it's in your hands, that's going to be the blessing that God will bring upon us as a congregation. So I encourage us, let's be praying rather than wondering. And the Lord bless you as we go move forward and as we go through the ordination this afternoon. Let's come to the Lord in prayer and kneel. Heavenly Father, as we pause before you this morning here, looking to you for guidance and direction, O Father, we commend our two brethren to you. And Father, we pray that we may find our hearts united, that we would resign ourselves to whatever you want for us. And God, that we commend them to you. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that we may rejoice in the experience and that your love would rain forth upon us as a congregation. We commend ourselves to you and resign that all into your hands. So, Father, we pray that as we go on, we might be faithful. And, Lord, that your truth would prevail. And thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you for Christ, and thank you for those that are willing to serve. Bless them. Guide us now as we go forth from here, and help us to honor you in all we do. Bless each person that is here today. May we give you the honor and the glory and praise you so deserve. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.